Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the first reading, which is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 18, verses 41 to 46. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." There was no rain. It was parched land. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. This is Elijah's young assistant. So Ahab went up to eat and drink while Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, crouched down to the earth, and put his head between his knees. "Climb up and look out to sea," he directed his servant, who went up and looked but reported, "There's nothing." Seven times he said, "Go, look again." You know, by the seventh time, you'd think, what is wrong? But he did it. The seventh time, the youth reported, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea." Seemingly nothing. But Elijah knows that God is hearing his prayer. And Elijah said, "Go and say to Ahab, harness up and leave the mountain before the rain stops you." In a trice, the sky grew dark with clouds and wind, and a heavy rain fell. Ahab mounted his chariot and made for Jezreel. But the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, who girded up his clothing and ran before Ahab as far as the approaches to Jezreel. God was hearing his prayer. How willing are you to be obedient to God's requests? Now, I know things need to be tested out. You can't just run hither and yon doing, "Oh, well, God told me to do this." It has to be tested. Of course it does. But what's the attitude in your heart that if this is of God, I am willing to do it? Are you? Brothers and sisters, our relationship with Christ has to go much deeper than it is right now in the whole church. It has to go much deeper than it is. And part of enabling our relationship with God to grow and to reach a new depth, for that to happen. And you know, when I say to reach a new depth, it means to come to really know him and love him. There's no greater joy, really. It's not just head knowledge. It's to know him intimately, to be drawn near to him, to listen to him, to hear his voice, to more and more want to put your priorities in line with his. That's what he's after. He's not after a cold obedience, did that right, did that right, did that right, and check off the Ten Commandments. Don't do that. Yes, pay attention to the Ten Commandments. Yes, read what they ask. Then read the scriptures associated with that and say, one by one, say, "Lord, teach me. Help me, show me." And he does. He waits for that because he will never violate our free will. How many times have I said that? He will never violate our free will. We have freedom to choose. But I want you to choose life. I want you to choose eternal happiness. And this is part of how God trains us. Elijah said, "Go and say to Ahab, harness up and leave the mountain before the rain stops you." And in a trice, the sky grew dark with clouds and wind, and a heavy rain fell. Ahab mounted his chariot and made for Jezreel. But the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, who girded up his clothing and ran before Ahab as far as the approaches to Jezreel. God gives us strength in challenging times. He does give us strength. I've had people who've rescued people, and I've said to them, thanking them for what they did, and I said, "Aren't you exhausted?" And they say, "Yes, I'm very tired, but I didn't feel any of that." Now, some of that's adrenaline. Some of that's a natural reaction, and it's adrenaline. But there is also a realization, an almost exhilaration, when you realize that God is asking you to do something courageous, something big, something brave, and you do it. And you know that you didn't do it on your own. You know someone was right beside you. That's what God has for each of us. But we've got to be willing to obey his commandments and to choose him and to seek to follow after him one by one. Don't get overwhelmed with 10. Start with 1. Get that working. And as you do that, God visits you with more and more grace because you, by your obedience, are making more room in your life for God's Spirit to be present. God can't dwell with mortal sin. He can't. But he can dwell with someone who has been in sin and is seeking forgiveness. He can dwell there. He's over us all. He sees us all, no matter how dark our sin is. But if you want to see God's action in your life, it's repentance and a decision of the way you're going to live. That's essential to knowing intimacy with God. But it's there for you. It's what he desires. It is right to praise you in Zion, O God. It is right to praise you. Psalm 65. You have visited the land. You watered it. Greatly have you enriched it. God's water courses are filled. You have prepared the grain. Thus have you prepared the land, drenching its furrows, breaking up its clods, softening with showers, blessing its yield. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths overflow with a rich harvest. The untilled meadows overflow with it, and rejoicing clothe the hills. They're seeing the fruit of their labor, and they know who the source is of that fruit. It's not themselves. It's not their hard labor. It took their hard labor. Don't misunderstand me. But they weren't the initiators of it. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. How much we want to see the gifts of God, but we're not willing to submit our lives and our decisions, our sinfulness to him, so that he can change us, so that we actually can hear his voice. Sin can block him. Sin can block his voice. So brothers and sisters, we've been doing this now this week, just taking a look, where are the decisions you need to make? Start with one at a time. I always say that. One decision. When that really gets going well, and it might be 6 months worth, or even a year, till you get that one habit broken and the light of God shines more in you, then take on the second. Remember, it's God who changes you. This is not self-help. You are simply disposing yourself to receive all the help that God wants to give you. You're casting out sin. You're deciding to follow him more closely. Then he can help you. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 20 to 26, Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." In other words, your righteousness has to be for the right reason, not so that others see you and applaud you. "You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever says to his brother, 'Raka,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna." Be careful how you treat others. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift." What would it be like if at Mass, at the beginning of Mass, the penitential rite at the beginning, the prayer of the Confiteor, what if we got up and walked over to somebody that we had offended and asked forgiveness? That's what we ought to be doing. Actually, I was for several years in a university parish where that's exactly what was done. And it changed us. It changed us radically because it made us think. We'd pray the Confiteor and then everybody would bow their heads. You weren't looking around at other people. But if there was any reconciliation that needed to happen right there with somebody in that church, they went to them. And it bore tremendous fruit. I'm not advocating that you do that. But I am saying that disposition should be in your heart. Grab them before Mass or grab them right after Mass and ask forgiveness. You'd be amazed at how God uses you when we do what he's asked us to do. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. Brothers and sisters, I really don't want to spend time in purgatory. I probably will. In fact, I'm sure I will. I don't want it to be very long. I want to put my house in order here as much as I can by his power and by his grace. And a weekly examination of conscience is one of the most important things you can do. Face yourself. Look at what you're doing. Turn to God for help. Bring your sins to the sacrament of reconciliation. Be healed. Be made whole so that God's grace can reside in you more deeply and help and strengthen and guide and give wisdom. My goodness, brothers and sisters, what would we do if physically we had a broken leg and we said, oh, it's broken, it's a mess, there's nothing I can do about it, and the doctor is standing there saying, I'll take care of it. I can put it back in place so that it will work well as it was intended to work. And you say, no, 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 nothing can make this better. No, 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 I'll take care of it myself. Thank you. You would say, well, that person is not thinking clearly. But isn't it true? Many of us don't think clearly when it comes to sin. We don't. We think that we have to get it all right. What we have to do is go to the Savior who can make it all right. And I mean that. Don't look to yourself. Don't try to rationalize. Don't try to excuse. Just admit. And then receive the grace that God wants to give you, not only to free you of that sin, not only to free you, but to begin to give you tools by the power of his Holy Spirit to overcome that pattern, to overcome that sin. That's what God wants to do. He loves you. He loves you more than you understand. But so many people are so embarrassed by their sin that they don't think they can say anything, so they try to shove it down and hide it and pretend on the outside that everything is fine. Don't do that. Go to the one who can save. Go to the one who can heal. Go to the one who can restore. Go to the one who can give you new life. Go to him and receive all that he has for you. For he is a God of love. And he is a God of mercy. He is a God of compassion. He is a God so willing to forgive. Please go to him quickly and often, that the church may be strengthened. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.